Brady Bowman here with Congressman Roger Marshall. And Congressman, welcome. Glad you can join us.
Brady, glad to be on the air with you again. What's happening back home?
It's warmer. It's warmer than it usually is right now, so we're okay for now. But you know how it is. It could change.
Exactly. It's Kansas. Just wait till the day to change.
Well, Congressman, it's not a subject I really like to talk about, but I feel like it's something that has to be discussed. Just what's the mood like in Washington right now? Just less than 24 hours after the events in Florida at that high school, what is kind of the tone?
Well, I mean, certainly there's always tragedy throughout the world every day, and I think, even just back home, whatever tragedy there is, it seems to end up on my plate to look at it. So we certainly mourn anybody and want to pray for those people that, lost loved ones in the school shooting. But at the same time, we have work to do. And, from that standpoint, I see us working together about as positive as I've ever seen us. This budget deal we just passed was a great bipartisan piece of legislation that helps so many people and Americans, especially, people right there in the Manhattan Junction City area. So I think there's so many things to celebrate. There's a time to mourn, there's a time just to celebrate, and there's a time to just keep working. So I think it's about a positive mood as I've seen.
Well, and just to go with that, you said that Congress wants to get working on some issues, but going back to the Florida incident, that it is something that a lot of people are calling for Congress to work on. It's the 18th school shooting this year. We're averaging nearly one a week since the Sandy Hook tragedy. Nearly 200 since the Sandy Hook tragedy, I believe in 2012. Is there any appetite to actually tackle this in any sort of way, whatever that may be, or is this just a new norm that we unfortunately need to get used to?
Right. Well, I think there's some things that we've tried to do. I think number one is we have some mental health issues in our country right now. And just being a physician, I've seen people go to basically all outpatient management. And I'm sorry, there are a group of people that need inpatient management. And as I've seen more and more homeless people, a lot of these people, probably have some very chronic mental illnesses. So I think we need to stay very focused on the mental illness aspect of all this. And I don't know who the shooter is in this particular instance or what, anything specific about this person. Congress doesn't always able to fix every problem. I'm certainly open to considering any solutions that are out there, but I think that more and more that we need local responsibilities, and we just have to be really aware of all these types of things, that they can happen any place at any time, do better screening of people. If I'm the teacher, the principal, always keeping my eyes open for who's struggling and who's not.
You mentioned the budget that was passed, presented by the president. A lot of concern from a lot of Kansans, and especially folks in the ag community, they're very concerned about crop subsidies and crop insurance. The president's budget, the proposed budget that was unveiled Monday, would cut $26 billion from crop subsidies over 10 years. That's according to agriculture.com. And the average premium subsidy under the program would drop from 62% to 48%, and it's an interesting thing because in September it was reported that your Senate counterpart, Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas, said he had assurances from the president that they wouldn't be touched. What do you think has changed since then when it comes to the president's perspective on crop insurance? And I know that a president's budget is usually tweaked quite a bit in Congress, but just your thoughts there.
Well, I think it's more than tweaked. I think most of us don't pay hardly any attention to the president's budget. I would encourage Kansans to stay much more focused on the farm bill, which we're going to be starting here in a couple weeks. And I can assure you that on the House side, as well as on Senator Roberts' side, that funding crop insurance is going to be our top priority. And I expect crop insurance to be funded at 100% levels as they were before. We had some great victories in a couple weeks ago in the final budget deal that's going to free up some monies for crop insurance. So I respect the president working on it, but as far as I know, the House Ways and Means Committee gets to start all these type of appropriations, and this farm bill is going to be done here very soon, and I think Kansans will be very happy with it.
Have you heard from folks since that president's budget was presented about crop insurance? I know you've been making some tours. I think you were meeting with some wheat growers not too long ago.
Very little about it. I think people, the people that really understand the process are locked into the farm bill and that entire process, locked into what we're doing on the House side, and Senator Roberts will be starting it here in the next month or two as well. So I think most everybody that's really in the know understands that the president's budget is just a piece of paper and it just doesn't get a whole lot of respect here.
So you don't see that being the case when it does come, when it comes to crop insurance and some of those cuts that we're hearing about? You're basically saying when it's all said and done that should be taken care of. It shouldn't be too big of a worry.
We'll take care of crop insurance. It's the top priority in this budget on the farm bill side, and then the next will be the Title I funding. So I would just give people some relief. I'm much more worried about trade right now and where that's going. We will get a farm bill done, and the people of Kansas are going to be very happy with it.
And just real quick, sticking with the topic of crop insurance, if you could maybe just kind of explain a little bit to some of our listeners, especially maybe some of those listeners that don't really have a big farm or ranch background, when we're talking about crop insurance, what is that program, and talk about its importance to Kansas farmers and ranchers.
Right. Well, what crop insurance does, it provides enough money that if your farm is wiped out by hailstorm or by lack of rain, those types of things, it allows you enough money to plant your crop next year. Nobody profits off of it. And a significant portion of the crop insurance is funded by the farmer themselves, and basically the federal government helps subsidize it to some extent. And what I would tell people, you know, we are so lucky. We pay the least amount of money for our groceries of any other country in the world. It's around 8% of our gross domestic product is being spent on groceries, versus most developed countries, it's 20 or 30%, and undeveloped countries, maybe it's 50 or 60%. So what crop insurance does is help stabilize those markets so that our grocery bills don't go up so high. So it's worked for, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, and think we should keep doing it.
And sticking with that proposed budget, once again, one final thing on that real quick before we move on to some other topics. But infrastructure is a big part of that budget proposal and a big part of just the budget every year and a part of the economy every year. One part of that infrastructure is that basically the way the president has proposed it is that it would rely a lot on private investment and rely a lot on local and state investment into some of these projects and matches for the federal government, especially when it comes to increasing that burden on local and state governments to kind of help provide funding for some of those infrastructure projects. When you look at the state of Kansas and some of the budgets problems it's going through and having some hard time keeping its infrastructure funds solvent, do you see that sort of process or idea working with a state like Kansas with those budget issues? Or do you kind of go back to what you were saying about crop insurance and that this will be a far different budget when it's all said and done?
Well, the great news for Kansas is that a fourth of the infrastructure dollars that the president is proposing is going to go to rural states like Kansas, where it's not going to require any match at all. So that's a huge tip of his hat towards rural states. So basically, he's suggesting $200 billion of federal dollars being used towards infrastructure, and he wants $50 billion of that to be used in rural states like Kansas without matches. So that's a great tip, I think, for Kansas. And then to the second part of your question, I think it's great that we make states and local municipalities participate in funding. They'll take better care of the dollars. They'll be more judicious as where they're going to spend them. And I would tell people, look, going forward, I bet more monies will need to come from the state no matter what the concept is going forward. We want more state dollars being spent and less federal dollars because the states know where to spend it and how to spend it more efficiently.
But again, with the state of Kansas and the budget issues, like I think a lot of people would agree with what you just said. But when it comes to the logistics of it and finding those funds, if the funds aren't there, doesn't the state have to raise taxes?
Well, that's up to Kansas what to do, but that's just it. We do not want Washington telling Kansas what to do. I think there's lots of local municipalities, counties, cities that have dollars that they can use on infrastructure. You know, I'm sorry that Kansas doesn't have much money left in their highway funds. I think that Kansas has to figure out what priorities they want to have and where to spend the monies. But the great news is we've already got $50 billion of money allocated that's not going to require any type of federal match or state match.
Brady Bowman here with Congressman Roger Marshall. And just finally, Congressman, just kind of close with the topic that you've been pretty outspoken about in the past is the DACA issue. And that's one of the big, if not the biggest topic right now in Washington. I guess if you can just kind of give us an update on where that's at and just how you're seeing it.
Right. First of all, it is taking up a lot of the oxygen right now in D.C. There's lots of talk about immigration. I think it's on the tips of everyone's tongues. I think we're making great progress. I think what we all agree with is that whenever we speak of immigration, we want to start with some type of a border security and how important that is on the whole process. So I think that most all of us have agreed that we need to fund border security. And then secondly, we got to figure out who actually is a DACA person and what is their path going forward. But the biggest issue to Kansas is actually dealing with agriculture work visa issues. This could impact literally tens of thousands of Kansans, and I'm hoping we can solve that along with the DACA issue. It's on the tips of everyone's minds. I see the Senate kind of going a little bit different direction than the House, but hopefully at the end of the day we can get together and find some great long-term solutions that's fair for everybody.
And real quick, just along those lines, have you been following the story with the Lawrence chemist, Syed Ahmad Jamal, and that whole issue? And I know it's a little different to a degree from the DACA issue, but I'm just curious if you've been following up on that, if you have any thoughts on that situation.
Well, my staff showed me the article, and I really have not seen any more details than that. I just would encourage immigration enforcement officials to focus on people that have broken laws, and that should keep them plenty busy for right now.
Do people in Washington look to you for advice on some of these issues? Being a doctor in Western Kansas, you've told us on this program many a time that you've met a lot of these folks that we're talking about, that you really have a perspective of a human face with some of these issues.
Occasionally they do, and I think those are the conversations we have over a cup of coffee. And I think that lots of people from a big inner city that represent inner cities have no idea how important agriculture visas are to, say, a big dairy or to a feedlot. And sometimes they're from a district. There are congressional districts in this country where there's 25% unemployment and 50% of their constituents on welfare. So their concept of that we don't have enough people for the jobs is really hard for them to relate to. So, in my mind, I'm trying to share that, look, we have open jobs in Kansas, actually 50,000 open jobs now. So it just gives them a little bit different perspective.
All right. Very good. Congressman, appreciate you always taking the time for us to give us your perspective. I always enjoy it.
Brady, thank you for having me on.
We'll talk to you again soon. Congressman Roger Marshall, more in focus after the break.